Blog Talk Radio.
Heavenly Father, Holy One of Israel, come before you in the name of your Son, ask you to please give ear unto my prayer. Heavenly Father, you said in your word clearly how confusion of faith belongs to each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, you said in your word how our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Heavenly Father, you have clearly shown that there is none righteous, no, not one, and that we have all fallen short of your glory. Therefore, I pray, Heavenly Father, through your Son, by whom you also said, whatsoever we ask in his name, we shall receive. Therefore, I pray in the name of your Son, and I ask you on behalf of those who are homeborn and strangers, those who have a sincere desire to worship you and to serve you according to your divine will, in spirit, in truth, Father, I pray that you send a messenger, someone you have called, someone you have prepared, someone you have chosen, someone that you have given your word, your truth, that he may teach us all according to your divine will, that we come to know the way that you have given by your Holy Spirit to your servants, the prophets. Because that old serpent called the devil and Satan has truly deceived us all. Therefore, we need you, Heavenly Father, to hear our prayer through your Son and send your servant, the prophet, that he may bring edification, that he may bring education, that we may learn what it is you have said, that we not be deceived by our carnal minds, Heavenly Father, but that we are uplifted by your Spirit, Heavenly Father. Your sons, your daughters, your people whom you have called are in desperate need. Therefore, I pray, Heavenly Father, on behalf of all your people throughout the four corners of this world, that you would send someone and that you would give us a sign as to who this person is, so that we, Israel, may take heed, that we may come together in that unity of your Spirit, Heavenly Father. I humbly and I sincerely ask these things in the name of your Son. I pray for the forgiveness of each and every one of our sins. I pray that the blood of your Son be used to cleanse us and to wash us of our unrighteousness. I pray for strength, Holy Father, by that very same Spirit, that we may mortify the deeds of this flesh, that we may all be submissive to your will. These things I ask through your Son, Yahushua, our Messiah. Hallelujah. And welcome once again to The Truth Shall Prevail. As we continue our current topic, what Bible teach about spiritual gifts? When we consider the giving of Ruach HaKodesh, one truth in particular has been constant throughout the historical accounts we have before us. The Most High intends for his people to be representatives of himself. This entails manifesting his power. But more important than that is the revealing of his divine will. So when you consider the whole prophets and prophecy, one modern day term that you may be able to compare it with is journalism. When you consider it, what exactly is journalism? Now, the dictionary definition clearly says that it is the occupation of reporting. What are they reporting? When you think about the role of a prophet, and we're going to get into some passages this evening, Most High willing, that we can come to better understand this Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Because what a prophet basically is a reporter. He's a journalist, if you will. And he has the occupation of reporting, of writing, editing, as it were, the word of our Heavenly Father. When we look at the Holy Scripture, and I want to encourage those who may be listening to follow along in your Bible, as we always do, and pray that the Most High gives you understanding. Because we, as human beings, have been led astray, run amok, bamboozled, etc., etc. We have been in darkness for so long that the light of the truth sometimes can be right before your face. And because we have those shades on, we're unable to see. That's why it's imperative that the Most High sends us a messenger, somebody who can teach us the truth of his word unadulterated, because I believe that the word of the Most High is the truth. I believe, as the Holy Scripture teaches, that his word is forever settled in the heavens. Also believe that the scholarship that we have in our world today has all been tainted. Yes, there may be bits and pieces of the truth scattered all over, but what we need is somebody that represents the creator of the heavens and the earth to tell us what he said, not what somebody else said in regard to their opinions about the Holy Scripture, because that's basically what scholarship is founded upon. Every intellectual who referred to themselves as a theologian, etc., is basing a lot of the information that they deliver on personal opinion, which is one of the reasons why, even when you look at historians, they don't all agree. All historians do not agree. All biblical scholars do not agree. Why do you think you have so many religious denominations here today? But the world is in need, desperate need, of a servant who represents the Most High, as we read about in this Holy Scripture here. We are in need of a prophet coming about to bring about the word of the Most High, unadulterated, because we're lacking that in this world today. And that's what we need. And we need to know, according to the divine will of the Father, that this person is indeed a true and living servant of the creator of the heavens and the earth. Otherwise, what are we doing? We waste our time if we're not serving the Most High according to his divine will. That's why we are such desperate need for the truth, because it's been hidden from us for so long. But hopefully we get an idea as we go through the word, based on, of course, the translation that we're using, and we pray that the Most High gives us that understanding. And I like to always encourage people to not take my word for it, because I too am but a student. I am a Bible believer, but at the same time, I'm learning. But I pray that the Most High sends a teacher, because I too need to be taught. When you consider Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 23, one of the things that Brother Solomon writes, he says, "Turn at my reproof. See, I pour out my spirit on you. I make my words known to you." So one of the things that we actually find out about the Holy Spirit from this perspective is that it also has the role of revealing to those who receive it his words. Let me read that again. He says, "Turn at my reproof. See, I pour out my spirit on you. I make my words known to you." And we want to take that into consideration when we ask the question, what is a prophet? So let's go to the first place in the Holy Scripture we find the word, Genesis chapter 20 and verse 7. And this term is actually introduced in connection with Abraham. And the passage reads, "Now therefore, restore the man's wife." And this is the situation between Abraham, Sarah, and Abimelech. And basically, Abimelech took Sarah because he, supposing that the woman was just Abraham's sister, opposed to understanding that it was also his wife, the Most High, before the man can touch her, came to him, and now he's speaking to him, and he's telling him in verse 7, "Now therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet." He's a prophet. And then on top of that, listen to the remaining section of the verse. It says, "And he," talking about Abraham, will pray for you. See, that's telling us another thing about a prophet. See, the prophet is that intermediary, if you will, the go-between, the Most High and the people. You see, it says again, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. In other words, because he took this man's wife, not knowing that it was his wife, the Creator had the intention of taking his life. But because the Most High is just, you see, he lets the man know, because he was going to do this blindly. He didn't realize, and he understood that the man had righteousness in his heart. So instead of afflicting him with some form of punishment, he warns the brother so that the brother can make the decision that he apparently makes by giving Abraham back his wife. Now, the word here says in number 5030, this is the Strong's, it's also concordant Hebrew lexicon. The word for prophet is Nabi, okay? Nabi, and it comes from number 5012, and we're going to look at that as well. But it simply says a prophet or generally inspired man. So think about that. The term Nabi, although we're familiar with the term prophet, what a prophet is basically an inspired man. We have to keep that into, take that, excuse me, into consideration when we think about what a prophet is. It is a man who has been inspired. And when we talk about that word inspired, what you're basically talking about, somebody who has now inhaled the breath of the Most High, which is Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, 5012 is the term Naba. Now, what this term means, to prophesy, and it has that is speak or sing by inspiration. And most commonly, it refers to the way in which the word of the Most High came to the people. Now, we discussed these terms before in previous broadcasts. And we discussed it in the context of the Hebrew language being a biliteral language. And what that means, once again, it is based upon two letters. Now, the two letters that form what we refer to as the parent root, and why do we call it the parent root? Because the two letters represent the father and the mother. The first letter represents the father, and the second letter represents the mother. So, when you do some research on this term, Naba, what you find is that it's related to the term in number 5011, and that word is Nob. Excuse me. Now, the word Nob, it says the same as 5108. We'll take a look at that one as well. But what it is defined as is fruit. Now, when you take the parent root, as we've discussed before, the Nun, which is the first letter, is a seed. The bet, which is the second letter, is a tent. So when you put the two together, you have seed's tent or the seed's house. Now when you think about fruit, as we discussed before, take an apple. What's in the middle of the apple, what they refer to as the core? You have seeds. When you take an orange, when you peel it, scattered throughout the orange, what do you have? You have seed. You take a cherry, same thing. You take a peach, you take a plum, same thing. So a fruit houses the seed. And this is the thought here. Now, what's interesting about this, the term, you can find it used in the Holy Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1. And I'm going to read excerpts of each of these passages so that we can get a thought. And one of the things that I believe, as we discussed also in a previous broadcast, something that the Most High, I believe the Most High showed to me in regard to his word. There's a passage that says, order my steps in your word. Now, when we hear that, there's a song, too, out by the same name, order my steps in your word. And beautiful song. I love the song. I've heard two versions of it. I like both. But when you think about it, we think about it in the context of order my steps in your word. In other words, as I live my day-to-day life, make sure that what it is that I'm doing is according to your will. And it does mean that. But one of the things that he also helps us to understand about his word, sometimes his word can have a layer or layers of meaning. But what he showed me, again, and I want to preface what I believe he showed me, that not only in our lives, in our day-to-day walk, but also when we study his word, there's an order that he placed in his word. And if we follow, if we are led by his spirit, that is. And let me back up on that note to what we read a little earlier. When he says, I pour out my spirit on you, I make my words known to you. This is the thought. So when he says, order my steps in your word, in other words, what he's also saying, not only am I going to, by the same spirit, lead you and guide you in your day-to-day living, but I'm also going to take you through the words that I gave to my servant, the prophet, and I'm going to help you connect them so you can see the bigger picture. So what I'm going to do in this particular section, I want to read a few passages, and like I said, excerpts, but they all incorporate the term nob, which means fruit. And keep in mind, this is the parent root for the word naba, which is prophecy, or nabi, which is prophet. Now, it says in 1 Samuel 21, verse 1, it says, then David came to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. 1 Samuel 22:11. Then the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house, the priests who were in Nob. 1 Samuel 22:19. He struck Nob, the city of the priest. Now, I wanted to read those excerpts that incorporate this word because I think it is very interesting, and I don't think it's by coincidence that Nob was actually the city where the priest dwelt, or one of the cities. Think about that. Because when you think about a priest, many times what you find as far as the priest go, which is simply a term in the Hebrew, is a Kohen, or Kohen, and it means an official, an officer of the Most High. But what you also find is that many of the priests were also imbued with the spirit of prophecy. Think about Moses. Think about Aaron. Think about Samuel. And we're going to see a little bit more about Samuel as we go through the lesson. You see? The other term that is derived from or connected to in number 5108, that word, it is spelled two different ways, and that's also interesting. One way that it's spelled is Nun Yod Bet, and the other way that it's spelled is Nun Wav Bet. Now, I believe that the Most High has revealed a very significant truth by incorporating the letters Yod and the letters Wav in the two letters Nun and Bet. And I believe that it points to him in a significant way. I'm not going to get into the details of that at this point because I don't want to take us off from what we're looking at. But the word in number 5108, it means produce. Basically, it's a term that indicates fruit. Now, two passages we want to look at. The first passage is from Isaiah 57:19, and it says, I create the fruit of the lips. Listen to that. Now, why is this word being used in connection with the lips? I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says Yahweh. And I will heal them. And I think that's interesting when you think about it. Now, the way that they write the word fruit in this particular verse is the Nun Wav Bet. Now, the next passage, Malachi chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but you profane it in that you say, Yahweh's table is polluted and his fruit, even its food, is contemptible. Now, he's using this same term, and his fruit, but he's using it as if it's something that's on his table. Think about that. When we consider the usage of different terms, and I truly believe, and I pray that the Most High bring clarification, that he bring witness, whether or not these things are so. But he's teaching us something about the prophet. He's teaching us, one, when the prophet speaks, it's as if the fruit, or comparable to the fruit of his lips. Now, why the fruit of his lips? Now he's saying right here in this next verse, in this particular one, this word in Malachi 1:12 is spelled Nun-Yod-Bet. That's on the tape. Okay? Now, what's also interesting is the way that the word is formulated in the Hebrew, because it has a wav at the beginning and a wav at the end. All these things are significant when we understand, or let me backtrack, if we believe that the word that the Most High uses is in fact spiritual. If we believe that. But the fact that he says there's something on his table, now it gives you an idea of the fruit of the prophet's lips. Where is it coming from? It's on the table of the Most High. And this is, let me read Malachi 1:12 again. And let's look at the context of it. Now, of course, you could always read the entire chapter of Malachi chapter 1. But just looking at this verse, based on what we read, he says, but you profane it, is that you say. So this is not the creator necessarily saying this, these things. This is what whoever he's talking to said. They say Yahweh's table is polluted, and his fruit, even his food, is contemptible. It's not polluted, and it's not contemptible, but that's what people say about it. That's the context of it. You see, which I thought was interesting. Now, another word, and we look under number 5108. Of course, it connects you to another one. It says number 5107. Now, 5107 is basically the same term, nun, wav, bet, which is noob. Okay? Now, this definition, it says to germinate. That is to flourish. It says also of words to utter. So now, let's look at a few passages that utilize this term. And basically what we want to do, let me just backtrack for a moment. We're looking at the different terms that are derived from the nun and the bet, which is fruit. And we're taking a look at the context and how they use the Holy Scripture, because I believe that it gives us a little more information about the terms nabi and Naba, which point to prophet and prophesy. Okay? Now, in Psalms chapter 92 and verse 14, Scripture says, they will still produce fruit in old age. They will be full of sap and green. Okay? Now, it's looking at it in the sense of production. I mean, think about the term noob. Another verse, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31. It says, and this is another good one, the mouth of the righteous produces wisdom. And the word produces is the term, again, noob, but in this sense, it has the yod at the beginning, yod, nun, wav, bet. And for those who may be familiar with the Hebrew language, you may recognize the significance of different letters when they're used in the word. That's why it's so important. Again, I believe it's important that we at least have a basic knowledge of the Hebrew language. I myself do not speak Hebrew fluently. My intent when I study the Hebrew language is to better understand his word from the perspective that he originally gave it, praying that he leads and that he guides, because, like I said earlier in the beginning of the program and the prayer, confusion of faith belongs to us. Sometimes we misconstrue his word based on faulty information. And next thing you know, you're doing something for years. And then you come to find out that you're incorrect And now when you look at yourself in the mirror, you feel pretty bad about yourself because the adversary had you deceived and you thinking you're doing the right thing, when in actuality you're doing something that the Creator didn't will. That's why it's so important when we understand what a prophet is. It's so important that we, if you are a person who wants to do things according to the will of our Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things, it is imperative that you ask Him in the humility and the sincerity of your heart that He sends us a messenger, a true messenger, a true prophet. You see, because I need to learn too, and I want to know His way. I don't want to be led astray. I don't want to practice something for years, coming to find out that I'm doing it wrong. It's frustrating to me to think you're doing something right, and then all of that time, now you find out it's wrong. It's upsetting to me. So we are in desperate need of a true prophet, such as a Moshe, you know, somebody of that caliber who the Creator speaks to face to face, that knows His word. And that's if we believe these things actually happen, if we believe the narratives that we read in the Holy Scripture. But anyway, let's get back to our point. Again, we're looking at the different terms that are all derived from the Nun and the Bet as a parent root and how they're used in the Holy Scripture, because there is a connection with the concept of being a prophet. When you think about the what is it that the prophet produces? See, if the prophet is one who houses the word of the Most High, what is it that he produces? Like he says here, again, in Proverbs 10:31, the mouth of the righteous produces wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. Now, that being said, what do we learn of the prophet who has become the seed house? Again, the words of a prophet being uttered are themselves the produce of none other than the Most High Himself. That's why Brother Kepha, Brother Peter, he says that the holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You see? That's important to us. We need to understand that. As journalists, as reporters, they wrote down what the Most High moved them to write down. And understand this with the prophets. When the Most High reveals something to an individual, and we think about the whole concept of being a teacher even, basically what you want to do, this is just one example, one analogy, and I'm sure other people may have different analogies they may use, which better explains it for them from their perspective. But one of the things that I believe the Most High helped me to see in regard to painting a picture, and basically, when you're painting this picture, most people, matter of fact, here's a thought, a picture is worth 1,000 words, more than 1,000 words, something along those lines, but you get my point. So when you see this picture and you examine all the different aspects of the picture, there's a message there. So when a man is teaching, or a woman, if the situation calls for it, is bringing forth the word of the Most High, this is what's happening. The Most High reveals His word to that individual. He teaches that individual. Matter of fact, I'm sure many of you have heard in the scriptures the term, or the phrase, excuse me, the word of Yahweh came unto me saying, okay, and then the prophet proceeds to speak. Now, the word of the Most High comes to the prophet, reveals to the prophet. When the prophet gets the word, he in turn now reveals it to the people. But this is the point people have to understand. The prophet is going to reveal to the people based on his understanding. So one of the things that you learn, the Most High didn't use one individual to bring forth His word. That's why He had several different men throughout the course of our early history as human beings. He had several different men to write. So you have Moshe doing some things. you see? And then you have other prophets after him. Now, Moshe may have a certain characteristic or personality, and he's going to bring things out a certain way. Whereas David, he's going to see things based on his personality and his character traits, and he's going to bring out the same thing, whatever the Most High reveals, but it may be slightly different. For example, one of the things that David did, he wrote a lot of Psalms. That's why in the definition it says to speak or sing by inspiration. You see? Because when you think about singing, when you think about songwriting, that in and of itself is an art form. When you think about a Solomon, when he gets the revelation from this very same spirit, and he's going to bring it out, the same truth, it doesn't contradict what David brings out. It doesn't contradict what Moses brings out, but he brings it out based on his experience. So he's painting the picture a certain way, and then David painting the picture a certain way, and then Moses is painting the picture a certain way. But when you see these pictures, what you're going to see, you're going to see a complete thought. That's what the word of the Most High is. So we consider this whole idea of the spirit of prophecy. Now, when we think about that, let's look at a few other passages, because there's something else that we really need to learn regarding this. In 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 20, and this is a passage that has struck up a lot of conversation. Now, as I've been stating throughout this particular broadcast, I believe that the Most High is showing us here, as far as prophets go, prophets are in need of a teacher to teach them. For example, okay, one of the things that you'll find in the book of Numbers, the prophet Moses is instructed to get 70 men together. Matter of fact, he had a conversation with his father-in-law back in the book of Exodus in regard to getting help, because he was dealing with the people on his own. So his father-in-law told him, man, you're going to kill yourself. You need to get some people that's going to help you. So eventually that's where the idea of getting these other judges come about. So point being, the Creator says what he's going to do, he's going to take some of the spirit off of Moses and put it on the 70 elders. Now, here's the question. Why? Why did he use that terminology? Why did he not just say, well, I'm going to take 70 elders and I'm going to give them my spirit too? Because that's whose spirit it is. But he particularly said, I'm going to take some of the spirit off of you, Moses, and put it on the 70 elders. The reason why, and again, I believe he said that, is because Moses was appointed as the teacher of these men. And how are they going to get a spirit? It could have been something that the Most High just blew and it filled them, or he just willed it and it filled them. But I believe what we're learning from that, as we're going to see in this passage we're going to compare it with, is that part of the way that they got it is by being taught by somebody who possesses the spirit of the Most High. In other words, this is what I'm alluding to, a school of the prophets. So listen to this passage right here. Again, this is 1 Samuel chapter 19 and verse 20. I'm going to read it through first and then I'll go back. It says, and Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing appointed over them, the spirit of Elohim was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. This is a pretty heavy verse when you get into it, when you listen to it. Now, let's go back for a minute. First thing it says, and when they saw the company. Now, the word used here in the Hebrew language, and let's share something else with you real quick. In the Hebrew language, there's this word that you find if you understand Hebrew. But one of the things about this word I'm about to mention, This is a term that is not translated or transliterated into the English language. Okay? But you only see this word if you understand the Hebrew language. And it's a term, it's spelled Aleph Tav. Now, this term, basically, it is somewhat of a definitive article, like the word the. Okay? That's what it is. Definite article. Right? But whenever it's used, one of the things that you find, it points to us, or rather, it points out to us who are reading or studying the word that we need to pay special attention to the term it's connected to. So, in 1 Samuel 19 and verse 20, when it says, and Saul sent messengers to take David, and when they saw the company. Now, when it says the company, it could have very easily said, and let me just share this with you. Another way that we can use the definite article in the Hebrew language is by the letter hey. So whatever the word is in the Hebrew, all we need to do is attach a hey to it. For example, like the word we looked at earlier, nob. Let's say that means fruit. Okay? So if I were to say the fruit in the Hebrew language, I would say ha nob by adding the hey to it. Now, in this particular passage, they didn't do that. Now, let me say this, too. Sometimes you'll find that they would use the hay connected to a word in addition to the Aleph Tav. But in this particular case, they just used the Aleph Tav. Now, the Aleph, as we discussed before, each Hebrew letter was originally a pictograph. This is where the hieroglyphs are derived from. So the picture for the Aleph was the ox head. And the picture for the Tav was an X. You know, you remember those cartoons years ago? And they had to put their signature, and then they put their little signature, and what the signature actually was an X. Well, that's because the Tav, it means a mark or like a sign, signature. Okay. So now if you take the term Aleph and you connect it to the Tav, what you have is a strong mark or a strong sign. That's what that points to. So whenever you see that word X, connected to a Hebrew word, it's indicating to us this is a strong sign. So, what is it connected to in this passage? And when they saw the company. Now, the word translated as company, number 3862, the word is lahaka, lahaka, and what it means, to gather, okay? And it refers to a group of people with a common interest, okay? A company, a group, all right? So, and when they saw the company of the prophets, so we got an idea. There is a group of prophets. Now, why is there a group of prophets? Think about that. We have to ask these questions. Remember, the word of Yah has all the answers. But as Bible students, while we're reading, while we're studying, we must ask the right question. Again, why is there a company of prophets prophesying? Think about that. Now, the next part, it says, and Samuel standing appointed. Now, that's interesting right there. Now, what's interesting about that is this. The words for standing and appointed. The word translated as standing first. Number 5975 is the term amad, which simply means to stand. And it, in various relations it has here, literally, figuratively, intransitively, and transitively. It's a verb that means to stand, to rise up, to take one's stand, etc. But then it's connected to another term, and that's number 5324, and that word is nazav. And that word means to station. And what it means by to station, it means to erect, to take a stand. So it's like these are two terms in the Hebrew language that have similar meanings. But why are they used together? Why is he standing appointed over them? And I believe that what the Most High is showing us is that Samuel was the leader of this group of prophets. Some even refer to this as not just being a group or just a company, but a school. When you think about what it is that the Most High does, if there is a gift that accompanies the Holy Spirit, here's a question. How do we learn to use that gift? The Most High has to teach us. Now, in some instances, I believe the Most High has the ability to deal with man directly, as in the case of the brother Moses. I believe in some instances he will send one of his malachim, one of his angels, and they will think about Daniel, for example. Daniel had a dream, Daniel had a vision, didn't understand it, then he sends an angel to explain it to him. You see? And then here's another messenger, the prophet, standing appointed over them. Sometimes the Most High will give that information to his servant, the prophet. And his servant, the prophet, now has the responsibility of teaching other prophets. Again, which is why in the prayer that we open with, a necessity that we have a man appointed by the Most High. We want one of those brothers that we read about. We want one of those brothers that have the word of the Most High came to them saying. You see, you look at in Isaiah, for example. We want somebody who the coals touched his lips. Now his lips have been circumcised. That means he's chosen to speak these things. We want somebody who has seen the heavenly glory, who knows beyond a shadow of doubt that the creator of the heavens and earth exists, so that when they speak, they're not speaking based on somebody's assumptions. They're not speaking based on what they think it is. They speak what they know. Israel is in desperate need of a true prophet of the Most High in these days and times. And I pray that the Most High send them so that we can all be born in one accord, you see, because we need that so that we, in our lives that we're living, know that we're doing these things according to his will. Because at the end of it all, listen to what the Messiah said. And this sticks with me a lot. There are going to be people come about saying they did things in his name. And they're going to run down a list of all the different things they did in his name. And then he's going to say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Now we got to really examine that as Bible believers, brothers and sisters. These are people who throughout the course of their lives really believed they were doing the right thing. And going as far as saying they did those things in his name. And he still tells them to depart from him because they were workers in iniquity. I can't speak for all of you, but I think if you have a true and sincere desire to do what it is the Most I want you to do, I can pretty much guarantee nobody wants to hear those words, because I don't want to hear those words. Not after I've given up my life to this. And then when I get to the end, then I'm told, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't want to hear that. So we need somebody who knows the Creator to help us. Father, we need help. We need somebody that's going to give us your word according to your will, so that we're not going astray to the left, astray to the right. Because that old serpent, he's a sly one. You said so. You said, if it was possible, the very elect would be deceived. See, that's what we need, Heavenly Father. We need one of your elect to teach us your word. Otherwise, we just go astray. And you don't know. See, and the sad part about it, what I'm thinking about, you don't know when you're going to die. You may be living your life and alive, thinking you're doing something right, but you're living a lie, only to be told at the end, hey, brother, hey, sister, depart from me. See? But let's get back to our passages here. Again, I believe what the Most High is showing us is that there was a school of the prophets. And in this particular time, Samuel was that leader. Now, let's look at a few other passages here regarding the Holy Spirit. We're going to move to the New Testament now, just to touch on a couple of things. He says in John chapter 16 and verse 7, he says, but I say the truth to you, he being the Messiah, it is better for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you at all. But if I go, I shall send him to you. Okay, the Helper. In some of your Bibles, I'm sure it says Comforter. But what he's referring to, we're going to see, is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Part of what the Holy Spirit is going to do. We find in John chapter 15 and verse 26, it says, and when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father. Now, we're learning bits and pieces as he goes along and he says these different things here. In 16:7, he says, I shall send him to you. So we know that is something that the Messiah is going to give, right? Now, when we get to John 15:26, although this came before 16:7, but the point still is the same. And when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father. In other words, and when he says from the Father, it is by the Father's instruction that I'm doing this. He says, the Spirit of the truth, right there. When we're talking about the Holy Spirit, now he is connecting it to the Spirit of the truth. That is very important that we know that. Now, and I say that to say this. You have a lot of people in our world today, and I've heard different people from different denominations talk about what the Holy Spirit said to them. Now, I cannot say what a person has or hasn't heard. That's not what I'm saying. But my question to people who say that is this. If the Holy Spirit is, in fact, speaking to you, why is it telling you the other part of it? Because if you have that much of a relationship with the Creator, how come he's not revealing to you similar to what we're talking about, his name, for example? How come he's not revealing to you his holy day or holy days? How can you, as whatever belief system you are, continue living your life, not really making any changes in regard to different things that we learn in the Word, but still you say you're here from the Holy Spirit? Because based on what he said, this is not just a spirit. I mean, first of all, we understand that it's holy or set apart, but then he goes on to say, the Spirit of the truth. Spirit of the truth. And the point that I want to make here is this. If you have the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit in any way, shape, or form is leading you and guiding you, at some point you're going to get to the place where it is his truth. And you begin to separate yourself from the deception of the adversary. That's the point. That's another purpose of receiving it. Let's read a little more. Again, John 15:26. And when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of the truth, who comes from the Father, he shall bear witness of me. You hear that? In other words, here's another thing. What does that mean? He asked his paladin, his disciples, who do men say that I am, right? They said a few things, and then there was Brother Kepha. He stood up. Thou art Messiah, Son of the Living Mighty One. And the Messiah said to Kepha, Brother Peter, he says, Simon Bar-Jonah, he said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in the heavens. That's what he said. So when he says this, he says, the Spirit of the truth who comes from the Father, he shall bear witness of me. In other words, this is what he said. The Holy Spirit is dealing with you, leading you, guiding you. It is going to testify of the Messiah, which is another produce of that Spirit. You can't have the Holy Spirit and not believe in the Messiah, because it's going to testify of him. That's what he's saying here. So anybody out there claiming to have the Holy Spirit and they do not believe in the Messiah, Yahushua, what spirit are you dealing with? And see, we have to ask that question. You know why? Because Brother Shaul, Brother Paul, he talked about if we receive another spirit, there's a possibility. And go a little further. He even said that we shouldn't marvel because our adversary, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, can transform himself into an angel of light. He even teaches us in his word how the adversary can also use the word. He teaches us all these things in his word. So that's because you believe there's a spirit that spoke to you and gave you a scripture. Does that mean it comes from the Creator? Could it have been the enemy? Because if it comes from the Creator, he is not going to allow you to continue in falsehood. He's going to bring you his truth if we believe what he say. He said, let's go to John 14, starting in verse 16. He says, and I shall ask the Father. Now he's telling us something else. Let's put this together. He is being the Messiah. He is going to ask the Father. The Father is going to give him that permission, give him that spirit, and he's going to send that spirit and give it to us. That's what he's saying. He says, and I shall ask the Father, and he shall give you another helper to stay with you forever. Spirit of the truth, whom the world is unable to receive. Now, let's talk a little bit about that part. Whom the world is unable. There's an inability with humanity. You see? That's why in order to receive the Holy Spirit, you have to touch the Most High. And what that means is this. Or rather, I should say, how the Most High. First step, you got to believe that he exists. That's first step. We got to believe that he exists, and if we believe that he exists, now the next step is this. And this is something that takes place inwardly. You have to have a humble state of mind. You see, this is what we are not supposed to do. We are not supposed to search for the God of our understanding, as they like to say in certain circles. See, the God of my understanding basically implies this, as Brother Shaul brings out in another place, how they're going to be some who heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, we're going to find a church that fits what we want. You see? That's what we're going to look for. So if you are a practicing homosexual out there and you go to a church and you hear them speaking against homosexuality, you ain't going to sit up in that church. You're going to go to the one around the corner across the street that say that homosexuality is okay because this is the 21st century and all that other stuff was primitive. They ain't know no better back then. Oh, that's what I want to hear. That's where you're going to go. But is that what the Creator really said? It's a question. You see? So now let's get back. He says, and I shall ask the Father, and he shall give you another helper to stay with you forever, the Spirit of the truth, whom the world is unable to receive. And again, why is the world unable to receive it? Because, let's go back, Genesis chapter 6. The Most High, observing humanity that he created, and what he come to the conclusion of? All they do is have evil thoughts continually. That's it. They wake up and they want to do evil, and throughout the course of the day, they want to do evil till it's time for them to go back. They want to do evil. Then they wake up and they do it all over again. He watched this. So people who are really caught up in that lifestyle, they can't receive it. Think about a scientist, for example. And I'm talking about somebody who went to school, maybe went to college for 8 to 10 years, got his PhD and all this good stuff, you know, sitting up there in front of the students, having a debate, explaining what nothingness is. Excuse me? You mean to tell me all of that learning that you got from these collegiate courses and all this paperwork you got plastered all over your wall, and you have the audacity to try to explain nothingness when the word itself a condition of being no thing? Excuse me? But see, they're not going to accept the fact that there's a higher power. There's a supreme being. So they have to try to make this whole idea, well, something out of nothing fit. So there's no, see, you can have nothingness where it's absolutely nothing, or you can have a nothingness where there's X, Y, and Z. Hold up, brother. If you explain the X, Y, and Z, don't you have the common sense to know X, Y, and Z is something? Please. But these are the intellectuals, though. These are the ones who write the books that you got to pay money for year after year after year when they're upping these prices. So you can take the courses, so you can get that same piece of paper and plaster it up on your wall. Now you're to answer the series of questions they want you to answer. Now you're thinking just like them. That's the whole point. Indoctrination. You see? But he said that the Spirit of the truth, whom the world is unable to receive. You know why? They don't want it. How do we know they don't want it? Because when the word walked before them, what they say? Crucify him, kill him, destroy him. We don't want it. That's what it says. Understand what it is that he's teaching to us. They didn't want it. He says, again, verse 17, the Spirit of the truth, whom the world is unable to receive, because it does not see him or know him. You know, they don't see it. They're blinded to the truth. They're blinded to it. They don't know him, and they don't want to. He said, but you know him. Now, listen to what he's saying to them. And he's talking to his disciples right now. See, all that we're reading in John chapter 16, 15, 14, you know what this is? See, all this conversation is what took place on that last supper they refer to, but we understand and we call it Passover. This is what he was teaching them. But listen to what he said. He says, but you know him. How they know him? That's the question we got to ask. Why did the Messiah tell them at that table, you know Ruach? HaKodesh. You know that comforter, that helper. He says, for he stays with you. Listen to what he's saying, brothers and sisters. Don't let it go over your head now. He stayed with you. Who's that staying with him but himself? And shall be in you. Huh? That's why Brother Shaul brings out another. We receive the spirit of his son. See? That's why I say that. You know Ruach HaKodesh. Guess what? Here I is. I'm talking right to you. I've been staying with you this whole time. That's what he's telling us. At least that's what I believe he's telling us. May the Most High bring his clarification. Let's move on. And if I'm being correct about anything, I pray, Father, that you bring the correction. Hallelujah. Let's go down to verse 26, chapter 14. He says, but the helper, now he's going to tell you exactly what it is, the Holy Spirit. And listen to this, whom the Father shall send in my name. Why he got to send it in his name? Why it has to be connected specifically to the name of the Messiah? And here begs another question. If you got baptized in the name of Jesus, did you get the Holy Spirit? Because if the Messiah did not bear that name when he walked the earth, when he said that, and that was not the name, how can we receive that Holy Spirit in any other name? How can we? I'm sure people going to be coming out the woodwork with a whole bunch of explanation behind that. And justification, that's what I'm talking about. See, that's why we need a messenger, Father, because you're going to have some people coming out the woodwork giving justification and saying, you know what, ain't nothing wrong with the name Jesus, because it is a legitimate translation from the Hebrew or the Aramaic, whichever words that they use, of that name. And it's perfectly fine, and it's perfectly acceptable. Father, is that true? If it is true, bring clarification, bring enlightenment. If it's not true, let us know that. It brings about division. We have all this doctrine circulating in this world today. People being tossed to and fro. And people at odds and can't come together because we believe this and they believe that. And over here they believe something different. And over there they believe something else. We want the truth of your word. And you said you was going to give that to us. You said you would send us pastors to feed us. That's what we need. We need you to send us teachers that come from you, Father, so that you help us get on the right track. Because right now, this doctrine is just crazy out here. Everybody pronouncing the Test of Gavitan different kinds of way. Which way is it? Everybody pronouncing the Messiah thing different kind of way. Which way is it? Or does it make a difference? If it doesn't make a difference, bring that to our enlightenment so that we understand. So that all the arguing can stop and we can start coming together and worshiping you in spirit, in truth. He says, John 14:26, again, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all. Hold up. Now he's telling us the Holy Spirit going to teach us. Now what does that mean? Because you got some people out there who believe, well, if I got the Holy Spirit, what I need to sit under some man for? I'm a man or I'm a woman. And I got the same spirit that they got. And, you know, if you can teach them, you know, you can teach me. So why do I need to go to sit up in somebody's church? If I have the Holy Spirit teach me. Some people believe that far. So, is that what you're saying right there is the question. Now, I believe that's not what you're saying. And the reason I believe that's not what you said, because in another place it said how you have set some in the assembly, you know, apostles and prophets and teachers, et cetera, for the perfecting of the saints. And see, if they are considered to be saints, it implies that they also have the Holy Spirit, because what a saint is one who has been sanctified, which means to be set apart. And what the Holy Spirit does is set us apart, because what the Holy Spirit actually is your word, which you promised according to the new covenant that you will write on our hearts. So when the Messiah said to sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. When we receive that Holy Spirit, that's what it does. So when it says you set apostles and prophets and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, you have an order. You're not saying just because you have the Holy Spirit, you don't have to sit under a teacher. I'm not getting that. Otherwise, why did Samuel stand as appointed over a whole group of prophets? You understand? That's what I believe. And if I'm incorrect, Father, I pray that you correct me and bring clarification. Let's move on. He says, he shall teach you all and remind you of all that I said to you. Yeah, that's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. It's going to remind us. Now, let's look at it contextually. This is the Messiah talking to his Talmudim, his students, about all the different things that he talked to them about. And now when you receive that spirit, it's going to come in my name. You know why? Because it's connected to me. I got to get permission from my Father. See, I proceeded forth and came from my Father. See? And I got to get permission from him, because I can't do anything unless he gives me the command. So when I ask him, because he loved me so much, because I kept his word, he's going to give me what I want. And when I get that permission, what I'm going to do, I'm going to send you part of me so that I will be with you forever. And you know me. I've been with you. I've been staying with you. So contextually, he's talking to those disciples, right? But guess who else he's talking to? Guess what else we going to get when we receive that same spirit? That means he's going to bring the things he told to them to our remembrance. And you know the beauty of it all? He ain't just talking about them, because he ain't the only thing. They aren't the only ones he talked to. See, when we understand who the Messiah is, when we understand when he said, nobody ever heard the voice of the Father? You mean to tell me when the Bible said that Elohim spoke to Adam, that was not the Father speaking? It clearly says Yahweh Elohim. So if Yahweh Elohim is having a conversation with Adam, doesn't that imply Yahweh Elohim? Because everybody believes Yahweh Elohim is the Father. Doesn't that mean that the Father spoke to Adam? So Messiah, how could you say such a thing? Well, that's what he said. I don't believe the Messiah was lying about it. So if the Father's voice has never been heard by a man, and the word of Yahweh came to all those different prophets, who is Yahweh? If Yahweh was speaking to these people from the top of Mount Sinai, who is Yahweh? Unless he implied it was him. Because he goes on a little further in another place and says this. He says, no man has ever seen the form of my Father. Then he goes on to say, the only begotten has declared him. In other words, the only one that came forth from the Father, that's me. I'm the one who's been declaring his existence. I've been doing that. If it wasn't for me telling you, y'all had no knowledge of the Father. That's what he's saying. You see? So not only, and I say all of that to say this, not only can the Holy Spirit bring back them to remember the things that the Messiah taught to his disciples. Now let's take it back all the way to the beginning. Because the very same Spirit that gave Moshe Bereshit bara Elohim et Hashamayim vayet haaretz. Guess what? You mean to tell me he can bring that to our remembrance too? It's the Spirit. Why can't he? So when it comes to understanding his word, you see, like he said, he shall teach you all and remind you of all that I said to you. Brothers and sisters, the question is whether or not we believe that. Let's look at a couple other passages so we can start winding this down for this evening. Let's go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 15, which reads, "And in those days, Kepha, standing up in the midst of the taught ones, and there was a gathering of about 120, said," this is what he said, "men and brothers, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the set apart or Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David." You hear that? The Holy Spirit spoke by the mouth of David. Did we catch that? David was talking, but the words coming out of David's mouth was not David his own. See, it was camouflaged in David's character and in David's personality, but the words was of Ruach HaKodesh. Okay? We got to understand and we got to walk in that and we got to believe that. You see? He says, again, men and brothers, the scripture had to be filled, which the set apart spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Yehuda, who became a guide to those who seized Yahusha. See that? Let's go down a little further. Let's go to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse 11, which reads, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man that is in him?" Think about that for a minute. What he's doing now, he's making a comparison. And he's looking at us in our carnal state. Excuse me. So, in our carnal state, we have what's called the breath of life. The breath of life, in addition to bringing us vitality, making us alive, it also gives us the ability to think, to reason. You see? Now, he says, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man that is in him?" He's talking about us and how even all the knowledge that we obtain in this physical world, it is due to the spirit of life that we possess. This is what he's saying. He goes on, he says, "So also the thoughts of Elohim no one has known except the spirit of Elohim." In other words, if we want to know what the Most High thinketh, he is telling us we got to have the Most High Spirit. In other words, if you do not have the Spirit of the Most High, you cannot read this Bible and understand a thing. That's what he's saying. You're not going to see it. People read that Bible all the time and don't understand a word in it. You got some people who like to boast about the fact that they read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation 4 or 5 times. But when you look at their lives, they still going down to the Piggly Wiggly. They ain't stopped. Or they still running over there to the Crab Shack. They ain't stopped. Still keeping Halloween. They ain't stopped. But they read it all the way through. What difference does it make if you ain't going to do what it say? You can read it 1,000 times. If you ain't going to do what it say, it don't mean a hill of beans, as we were taught. Let's move on. He says, verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, And we have received not the spirit of the world. See? Now he's making a distinction. When he goes back, remember, when he said how the world couldn't receive it, remember when he said that? Now we're getting a little bit of information as to why the world is not receiving it. It's because of the carnal mind. It's that spirit we have. He says, again, verse 12, and we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from Elohim, in order to know what Elohim has favorably given us. If you want to know what the Most High gave, you got to have his spirit. And what happens is that his spirit, as we've learned, will teach us, will bring to our remembrance what it is that he has, what he possesses, what he's about. That's what he's telling us. See, with the Holy Spirit now comes the knowledge of the Most High. In other words, he's implying you can't have that without the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say this. We need to have this understanding. There's a distinction behind somebody who may have the Spirit leading them. And what I mean, without the indwelling, the Spirit may talk to you because the Creator talks to you. You see? That's like the adversary does at times. But now he's talking about the indwelling presence, you see. Either way, be it by the outdwelling or the indwelling, the Spirit of the Most High has to be a part of your life in order for you to come to his knowledge, his wisdom, his understanding. That's the point. He says, verse 13, let me read from verse 12 and read it to 13 so you get the full thought. And we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from Elohim, in order to know what Elohim has favorably given us, which we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches. See? So when you speak it according to the ways of the Most High, the average Joe ain't going to get that. See? He ain't going to get it. Matter of fact, in one place, Brother Shaul says, to the Greeks is foolishness. Why he say to the Greeks is foolishness? Think about the Greeks and the whole concept of philosophy, the lovers of wisdom. See, but here's the thing. They were lovers of their own wisdom. See, because the scriptures talks about how they became wise in their own eyes, not realizing their wisdom was actually darkening their mind. Let's move on. He says, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. That's like the Messiah said it would, comparing spiritual matters with spiritual matters. You hear that? The Holy Spirit, it's a teacher. So we consider the whole concept of being a prophet is being a teacher, because not only when you think about prophesying, people thus saith the Lord thy God, and you know, things like that. But a prophet also teaches. You see, we think about our roles today. Some people may say, "Well, there's no need for a prophet today." Why not? Why can't the Creator still speak through these men, like the Scripture says? By how the Holy Spirit, by the mouth of David. Why can't he still speak that way? Why can't the Holy Spirit still elucidate the word that way today? Because we all need it. Those of you who like to surf YouTube and hear all these different teachers up there, all of that's not true. Sorry to say. Some of that stuff you hear, it's not the truth. Some people may hear the things that I'm talking about and say the same thing about what I'm saying. That's why I say, Father, you need to send a messenger to straighten all of us out. Because we all need it. He says, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and go to the third verse. He says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the spirit of Elohim says Yahushua is a curse. And no one is able to say that Yahushua is master except by the Holy Spirit. You hear that? By the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to stop right here for tonight. And I just want to leave it at that, kind of cutting it short. I want to encourage you all, though. Those of you who have a hunger and thirst to do the will of the Most High, I really want to encourage you to pray. To pray and you ask the Most High. And when you pray, I oftentimes like to encourage you to do so with humility. You have to humble, we have to humble ourselves before the Most High. And we have to be sincere. I mean, we can't be fake with the Most High. We can't pretend with the Most High. We have to be real. But we humble ourselves and we go before Him with truth and with sincerity and ask Him to send us one of His messengers so that He teaches us His way according to His divine will. We need a true prophet of the Most High. For those who, again, hunger and thirst for His righteousness, for His truth. We need a true prophet. You know, and the adversary, he has done a work in this world with the deception and the multitude of belief system that exists. It's crazy. It's crazy out there. It's pretty bad. And so many of us are going astray. And the world, I mean, it's lost. I mean, you have a few brothers and sisters come to the awareness of who they are, but the majority of us, we're still lost. So I just want to encourage everybody out there to pray to the Creator and ask Him to send us a teacher. Somebody who can get us straight to make sure that what it is that we're doing is in accord with His divine will. I'm going to stop right there. And I just pray that the Most High grace and mercy be upon each and every one of you, whoever hears this particular broadcast. I ask that He be with you all, that He bless your households, your families, and that He protects you, protects us, you know, from the adversary and his evil and deceptive ways, because He is a slick one, a very slick one. So may Most High bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and lift His hand upon you, and may He send you His peace. Hallelujah.
Because you have rejected His instruction.